Welcome to LSC Radio, broadcasting from the LSC Radio studios in beautiful downtown Loveland, Ohio. If you enjoy this episode and would like to contribute to the arts, visit lovelandstagecompany.org. Click on Donating to LSC. Please help us keep the arts alive in beautiful downtown Loveland, Ohio. Now get a snack, sit back, relax, and enjoy the third episode of A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare. Original music by Felix Mendelssohn. Performed and recorded by John Nixon. Directed by Jacqueline Schott. Produced by Jill Gornett and Michael Harris Kaiser.
Are we all met?
Yes.
Pat Patton, here's a marvelous convenient place for our rehearsal. This green spot shall be our stage, this hawthorn break our tiring house, and we will do it in action as we will do it before the Duke.
Peter Quince.
What sayest thou, Bully Bottom?
There are things in this comedy of Pyramus and Thisbe that will never please. First, Pyramus must draw a sword to kill himself, which the ladies cannot abide. How answer you that?
Oh, by our lack of Nepalus here.
I believe we must leave the killing out when all is done.
Not a whit. I have a device to make all well. Write me a prologue and let the prologue seem to say that we will do no harm with our swords and that Pyramus is not killed indeed. And for the more better assurance, tell them that I, Pyramus, am not Pyramus, but Bottom the Weaver. That this will put them out of fear.
Well, we will have such a prologue, and it shall be written in 8 and 6.
No, make it 2 more. Let it be written in 8 and 8.
Will not the ladies be afeared of the lion?
I fear it, I promise you.
Masters, you ought to consider with yourself to bring in, God shield us, a lion among ladies is a most dreadful thing.
Oh, dreadful.
For there is not a more fearful wildfowl than your lion living. And we ought to look to it.
Therefore, another prologue must tell he is not a lion.
Nay, you must name his name, and half his face must be seen through the lion's neck. And he himself must speak through, saying thus, or to the same effect, ladies, or fair ladies, I would wish you, or I would request you, or I would entreat you not to fear, not to tremble. My life for yours. If you think I come hither as a lion, it were pity of my life. No, I am no such thing. I am a man as other men are. And there indeed let him tell him, name his name, and tell them plainly he is Snug the Joiner.
It shall be so. But there are 2 hard things. That is to bring the moonlight into the chamber, for you know Pyramus and Thisbe meet by moonlight.
Does the moon shine that night we play our play?
Well, I don't know.
A calendar.
A calendar.
Look in the almanac. Okay. Find out moonshine. Find out moonshine.
Yes! It doth shine that night.
Why then, may you leave a casement of the great chamber window where we play open, and the moon may shine in at the casement.
Or else one must come in with a bush of thorns and a lanthorn and say he comes to disfigure or to present the person of moonshine. Then there is another thing.
What?
We must have a wall in the great chamber for Pyramus and Thisbe, says the show. Did talk through a chink in the wall.
Ooh, you can never bring in a wall.
I just said
what
that.
Say you, Bottom?
Some man or other must present wall. And let him have some plaster or some loam or some rough cast about him to signify wall. Or let him hold his fingers thus. And through that cranny shall Pyramus and Thisbe whisper.
If that may be, then all is well. Come, Sit down, every mother's son, and rehearse your parts. Pyramus, you begin. When you have spoken your speech, enter into that break, and so everyone according to his cue.
Okay.
What hempen homespun have we swaggering here so near the cradle of the fairy queen? What? A play toward? I'll be an auditor. An actor too, perhaps, if I see cause.
Speak, Pyramus. Thisbe, stand forth.
Sure.
Thisbe, the flowers of odious savor sweet.
Odors, odors!
Odors, savor sweet. So hath thy breath, my dearest Thisbe dear. But hark, a voice. Stay thou but here a while, and by I will to thee appear.
Must I speak now?
Aye, Mary, you must. For you understand, he goes to see a noise that he heard and is to come again.
Okay.
Most radiant Pyramus. Most lily white of hue. Of color like the red rose on triumphant briar, most brisky juvenile and eke most lovely Jew. As true as truest horse that yet would never tire, I'll meet thee, Pyramus, at Ninny's tomb.
Ninus's tomb, man! Oh, but you must not speak that yet. That you answer to Pyramus. You speak all your parts at once, cues and all. Pyramus, enter! Your cue is past. It is never tire.
A stranger Pyramus at air played here.
Oh, as true as truest horse that yet would never tire.
If I were fair, fair,
monstrous, strange, we are haunted, three masters fly, masters
I'll lead you about around, through bog, through bush, through brake, through briar. Sometimes a horse I'll be, sometimes a hound, a hog, a headless bear, sometimes a fire. And neigh, and bark, and grunt, and roar, and burn, like horse, hog, hog, bear, fire, at every turn.
Why do they run away? This is a knavery of them to make me afeard.
Oh, Bottom, thou art chained. What do I see on thee?
What do you see? You see an ass head of your own, do you?
Bless thee, Bottom, bless thee. Thou art translated.
I see their knavery. This is to make an ass of me to fright me if they could. But I will not stir from this place, do what they can. I will walk up and down here, and I will sing that they shall hear I am not afraid. The ousel cock so black of hue with orange tawny bill, the thrush so with his notes so true, the wren with little quill.
What angel wakes me from my flowery bed?
The finch, the sparrow, and the lark, the plain song cuckoo gray, whose note full many a man doth mark and dares not answer nay. Or indeed, who would set his wit to so foolish a bird? Who would give a bird the lie, though he cry, cuckoo, never so?
Pray thee, gentle mortal, sing again. Huh? Mine ear is much enamored with your note. So is mine eye enthralled with thy shape. And thy fair virtue's force preforce doth move me on the first view to say, to swear, I love thee.
Methinks, mistress, you should have little reason for that. And yet, to say the truth, reason and love keep little company together nowadays. The more the pity that some honest neighbors will not make them friends. Nay, I can gleek upon occasion.
Thou art as wise as thou art beautiful.
Not so neither, but if I had wit enough to get out of this wood, I have enough to serve mine own turn.
Out of this wood, do not desire to go! Thou shalt remain here, whether thou wilt or no. I am a spirit of no common rate. The summer still doth tend upon my state. Oh, and I do love thee. Therefore, go with me. I'll give thee fairies to attend on thee. They shall fetch thee jewels from the deep and sing while thou on pressed flowers dost sleep. And I will purge thy mortal grossness so that thou shalt like an airy spirit go. Peas blossom, cobweb, malt, and mustard seed.
Ready!
And I.
Where shall we go?
Be kind and courteous to this gentleman. Hop in his walks and gamble in his eyes. Feed him apricots and dewberries with purple grapes, green figs, and mulberries. The honey bags steal from the humble bees. And for night tapers crops their waxen wings and light them at a fiery glowworm's eyes. To have my love to bed and her eyes. And pluck the wings from painted butterflies. To fan the moonbeams from his sleeping eyes. Nod to him elves and do him courtesies.
Hail, mortal!
Oh. Hail!
Hail.
I cry your worship's mercy heartily. I beseech your worship's name.
Cobweb.
I shall desire you of more acquaintance, good Master Cobweb. If I cut my finger, I shall make bold with you. Your name, honest gentleman?
Please, Blossom!
I pray you commend me to Mistress Squash, your mother, and to what? Master Peascod, your father. Good Master Peas Blossom, I shall desire you of more acquaintance, too. Your name, I beseech you, sir?
Mustard Seed.
Good Master Mustard Seed, I know your patience well. That same cowardly giant-like ox beef hath devoured many a gentleman of your house. I promise you, your kindred hath made my eyes water ere now. I desire you of more acquaintance, good Master Mustard Seed.
Come. Wait upon him and lead him to my bower. The moon, methinks, looks with a watery eye, and when she weeps, weeps every little flower, lamenting some enforced chastity. Tie up my lover's tongue. Bring him silently.
Hush, hush.
I wonder if Titania be awaked. Then what it was that next came in her eye, which she must dote on in extremity. Ah, here comes my messenger. How now, mad spirit? What knight rule now about this haunted grove?
My mistress with the monster is in love.
Wonderful.
Near to her close and consecrated bower, while she was in her dull and sleeping hour, a patch of crude, rude mechanicals that work for bread upon the Athenian styles. They were together to rehearse a play intended for great Theseus' nuptial day. Oh, the shallowest thick skin of their barren sort to Pyramus presented in their sport forsook his scene and entered in a break when I did him at disadvantage take. An ass's knoll I fixed it on his head. Oh, none his Thisbe must be answering. And before his mimic comes, when they spy him as wild geese and creeping fowler eye, or russet painted chops many in sort, rising and cawing at the gun's resort, seeing themselves and madly sweep the sky, so as the sight away his fellows fly. And I'll stab here and o'er one falls, he murder cries, and helps for hath installs. Ah, these scenes, this weak loss of their fears, the strong, made senseless things being to do some wrong. For briars and thorns and apparel snatch, some leaves, some hats, some yieldings, all things catch. I led them on this distracted fear, and left sweet Pyramus translated there. When in that moment,
yes,
as it came to pass,
yes.
Titania waked, mm-hmm. and straightway...
Mm-hmm.
loved an ass!
Oh, this falls out better than I could devise. But hast thou yet latched the Athenian's eyes with the love juice, as I did bid thee do?
I took him sleeping, that just finished too.
Good.
And the Athenian woman by his side, that when they waken, for force she must be out.
Oh, stand close. This is the same Athenian.
This is the woman, but not the man.
Oh, rebuke you him that loves you so? Lay beneath so bitter on thy bitter foe.
Now I but chide, but I should use thee worse, for thou, I fear, hast given me cause to curse. If thou hast slain Lysander in his sleeping, or shoes and blood, plunge in the deep and kill me too. The sun was not so true unto the day as he to me. Would he have stolen away from sleeping Hermia? I'll believe as soon this whole earth may be bored, and that the moon may through the center creep and displease her brothers noontide with the Antipodes. Oh, it cannot be, but thou hast murdered him.
No.
So should a murderer look so dead, so grim.
Oh, so should a murderer look, and so should I. Pierce through the heart with thy stern cruelty. Yet you, the murderer, look as bright, as clear, as yonder Venus in her glimmering spear.
What's this to my Lysander? Where is he? Oh, good Demetrius, wilt thou give him me?
I would rather give his carcasses to my dog.
Out, dog! Out, cur! Thou drives me past the bounds of maiden's patience. Hast thou slain him, then? Oh, henceforth never numbered among men. Oh, once tell true even for my sake. Durst thou have looked upon him being awake? And hast thou killed him sleeping? Oh, brave touch, could not a worm an adder do so much? An adder did it, for with doubler tongue than thine, thou serpent, never adder stung.
You spend your passion on a misprized mood. I am not guilty of Lysander's blood. Nor is he dead for aught that I can tell.
I pray thee, tell me then that he is well.
And if I could, what would I get there for?
A privilege never to see me more. And from thy hated presence part I
so!
See me no more, whether he be dead or no.
There's no following her in this fierce vein. Here.
Oh, therefore, a while I will remain. So sorrow's happiness doth the heavier grow, for did the blankrat sleep the sorrow, oh. Which now in some slight measure it will pay for his tender here, I now make some stay.
What hast thou done? Thou hast mistaken quite and laid the love juice on some true love's sight. Of thy misprision must perforce ensue some true love turned and not a false turned true.
Then fate arouse that one man holding troth, a million fell confounding oath on oath.
Oh, about the wood go swifter than the wind, and Helena of Athens look thou find. Ooh. All fancy sick she is, and pale of cheer, with sighs of love that costs the fresh blood dear. By some illusion, see thou bring her here. I'll charm his eyes against she do appear.
I go, look how I go! Swifter than an arrow from Tartar's bow.
Flower of this purple dye, hit with Cupid's archery, sink in apple of his eye, when his love he doth espy, let her shine as gloriously as the Venus of the sky. When thou wakest, if she be by, beg of her for remedy.
Captain of our fairy band, Helena is here at hand, and the youth mistook by me, pleading for a lover's fee. Shall we their fond peasant see? Lo, Lord, what fool these mortals be?
Do stand aside. The noise they make will cause Demetrius to awake.
Then we'll be two at once, woo one. That must needs a sport alone. And then things do best please me that fall preposterously.
Why? Why should you think that I should woo in scorn? Scorn and derision never come in tears. Look, when I vow, I weep. And when I was so born, and the nativity all truth appears. How can these things in me seem scorned to you, bearing the badge of faith to prove them true?
You two advance your cunning more and more. When truth kills truth, a devilish holy fray. These vows are Hermia's. Will you give her o'er? Weigh oath with oath, and you will nothing weigh. Your vows to her and me, put in two scales, will even weigh, and both as light as tails.
I had no judgment when to her I swore.
Nor none in my mind. Now you give her o'er.
Oh, Demetrius loves her, and he loves not you.
Nymph, perfect, divine, to what, my love, shall I compare thine eye? Crystal is muddy, oh, how ripe in show thy lips, thy kissing cherries tempting grow, thy pure congealed white hides Horus the snow, fanned with thine eastern wind, turns to a crow. Oh, when thou holdest up thy hand, oh, let me kiss this princess of pure white, this seal of bliss.
Oh, spike! Oh, hell, I see you are all bent to set against me for your merriment. If you were civil and knew courtesy, you would not do me thus much injury. Can you not hate me as I know you do, but you must join in souls to mock me too? If you were men, as men you are in show, you would not use a gentle lady so, and vow and swear and super praise my parts when I am sure you hate me with your hearts. Never. You both are rivals to love Hermia, and now both rivals to mock Helena. A trim exploit, a manly enterprise to conjure tears up in a poor maid's eyes with your derision. None of noble sort would so offend a virgin and extort a poor soul's patience, all to make you sport.
Oh, you are unkind, Demetrius. Well, be not so, for you love Hermia, this you know I know. And here with all goodwill, with all my heart, and Hermia's love, I yield you up my part. And yours of Helena to me bequeath, whom I do love and will do till my death.
Never did mockers waste more idle breath.
Lysander, keep thy Hermia. I will none. If e'er I loved her, all that love is gone. My heart to her, but a guess why sojourned. Now to Helen, is it home return? There to remain.
Helen, it is not so.
Disparage not the fate thou dost not know, lest thy peril thou abide it, dear. Look, there comes thy love. Yonder is thy dear.
Dark night that from the eyes function takes, the ear more quick of apprehension makes, wherein it doth impair the seeing sense, it pays the hearing double recompense. Oh, thou art not by mine eye, Lysander, found. Oh, my ear, I thank it brought me to thy sound. But why unkindly didst thou leave me so?
Why should he stay whom love doth press to go?
What love could press Lysander from my side?
Lysander's love, that would not let him bide? Fair Helena, who more engilds the night than all yon fiery o's and eyes of light. Why seekest thou me? Could not this make thee know the hate I bear thee made me leave thee so?
You speak not as you think. It cannot be.
She is one of this confederacy. Now I perceive they have conjured all three to fashion this false sport in spite of me. Injurious Hermia, most ungrateful maid, have you conspired? Have you with these contrived to bait me with this foul derision? Is all the counsel that we two have shared, the sisters' vows, the hours that we have spent when we have chid the hasty-footed time for parting us, oh, is all forgot? Oh, school days, friendship, childhood, innocence, we, Hermia, like two artificial gods, have with our needles created both one flower, both on one sampler, sitting on one cushion, both warbling of one song, both in one key, as if our hands, our sides, voices, and minds had been incorporate. So we grew together like to a double cherry, seeming parted, but yet in union and partition, two lovely berries molded on one stem, so with two seeming bodies, but one heart, two of the first like coats in heraldry, due but to one and crowned with one crest. And will you rent our ancient love asunder to join with men in scorning your poor friend? It is not friendly. Tis not maidenly. Our sex, as well as I, may chide you for it, though I alone do feel the injury.
I am amazed at your words. I scorn you not. It seems that you scorn me.
Have you not set Lysander as in scorn to follow me and praise my eyes and face and made your other love, Demetrius, who even now did spurn me with his foot to call me goddess, nymph, divine, and rare, precious, celestial? Wherefore speaks he this to her he hates? And wherefore doth Lysander deny your love, so rich within his soul, and tender me, forsooth, affection? But by your setting on, by your consent, what though I be not so in grace as you, so hung upon with love, so fortunate, but miserable most, to love unloved? This you should pity rather than despise.
I understand not what you mean by this.
I do. Preserver, counterfeit, sad looks, make mouths upon me when I turn my back, wink at each other, hold the sweet jest up. The sport, well carried, shall be chronicled. If you have any pity, grace, or manners, you would not make me such an argument. But fare you well. 'Tis partly my own fault, which death or absence soon shall remedy.
No, stay, gentle Helena. Oh, hear my excuse. My love, my life, my soul, fair Helena.
Oh, excellent.
Sweet, do not scorn her so.
If she cannot entreat, I can compel.
Oh, thou canst compel no more than she entreat. Thy threats have no more strength than her weak prayers. Helen, I love thee. By my life, I do. I swear by that which I will lose for thee, to prove him false that says I love thee not.
I say I love thee more than he can do.
Oh, if thou say so, withdraw and prove it too.
Oh, come quick.
Lysander, where to tends all this?
God, go away, you Ethiol.
Oh, no. He'll seem to break loose. Take on as you would, fellow.
Yet come not. Are you a tame man?
Go.
Hang off, thou cat. Thou bird, vile thing, let loose, or I will shake thee from me like a serpent.
Why are you both so rude? What changes this sweet love?
Oh, thy love? Out, tawny tartar, out! Oh, out, loathed medicine! Oh, hated potion, hence!
Do you not jest?
I sooth, and so do you.
Oh, Demetrius, I will keep my word with thee.
I would I had your bond, for I perceive a weak bond holds you. I will not trust your word.
What? Oh, should I hurt her, strike her, kill her dead? Uh-huh. Although I hate her, I'll not harm her so.
What can you do me greater harm than hate? Hate me? Wherefore? Oh, hate me? What news, my love? Am I not Hermia? Are you not Lysander? I am as fair now as I was erewhile, since night you loved me, since night you left me. Why then, you left me? Oh, the gods forbid, in earnest shall I say.
Why, by my life, and never did desire to see thee more. Therefore, be out of hope, of question, of doubt. Oh, be certain, nothing truer. 'Tis no jest that I do hate thee and love Helena.
Me. You juggler, you canker blossom, you thief of love. What have you come by night and stolen my love's heart from him?
Fine, i'faith, have you no modesty, no maiden shame, no touch of bashfulness? What, will you tear impatient answers from my gentle tongue? Fie, fie, you counterfeit, you puppet. You?
Puppet? Why so?
That way goes the game. Now I perceive that she hath made compare between our statures. She hath urged her height, and with her personage, her tall personage, her height forsooth, she hath prevailed with him. And are you grown so high in his esteem because I am so dwarfish and so low? How low am I, thou painted maple? Speak. How low am I? I am not yet so low but that my nails can reach unto thine eyes!
I pray you, though you mock me, gentlemen, let her not hurt me! I was never cursed, I have no gift at all in shrewishness! I am a right maid for my cowardice, let her not strike me! You perhaps may think because she is something lower than myself that I can match her!
Lower, hark again!
Good Hermia, do not be so bitter with me, I evermore did love you, Hermia, and ever keep your counsels, never wronged you! Save that in love unto Demetrius, I told him of yourself unto this wood. He followed you for love, I followed him. But he hath chid me hence and threatened me to strike me, spurn me, nay, to kill me too. And now, so you will let me quiet go to Athens, I will bear my folly back and follow you no further. Let me go. You see how simple and how fond I am.
Why get you gone? Who is it that hinders you?
A foolish heart that I leave here behind.
What with Lysander?
With Demetrius.
Be not afraid. She shall not harm thee, Helena.
No, sir, she shall not, though you take her part.
Oh!
When she is angry, she is keen and shrewd. She was a vixen when we went to school, and though she be but little, she is fierce.
Little? Again? Nothing but low and little. Why will you suffer her to flout me thus? Let me come to her!
Get you gone, you dwarf! You minimus of hindering, not grass maid, you bead, you acorn!
You are too officious in her behalf that scorns your service. Let her alone. Speak not of Helena. Take not her part, for if thou dost intend never so little show of love to her, thou shalt buy it.
Well, now she holds me not. Now follow if thou darest to try whose right of thine or mine is most in Helena.
Follow? Ha! Nay, I'll go with thee cheek by jowl.
This coil is long of you. Nay, go not back.
I will not trust you. I nor longer stay in your cursed company. Your hands than mine are quicker for a fray. My legs are longer, though, to run away!
I am amazed and know not what to say.
This is thy negligence. Still, thou mistakest or else committest thy knaveries willfully.
Believe me, King of Shadows, I mistook. Did not you tell me I should know the man by the Athenian garments he had on? And so far, blameless proves my enterprise that I have anointed an Athenian's eyes, and so far am I glad to do sort. As these there jangling, I esteem a sport.
Thou seest these lovers seek a place to fight. Hie, therefore, Robin, overcast the night. The starry welkin cover thou anon with drooping fog as black as Acheron, and lead these testy rivals so astray as none not come within another's way. Like to Lysander, sometime frame thy tongue. Then stir Demetrius up with bitter wrong. And sometime rail thou like Demetrius. And from each other look thou lead them thus, till o'er their brows death counterfeiting sleep with leaden legs and batty wings doth creep. Then crush this herb into Lysander's eye.
Ah.
Whose liquor hath this virtuous property, to take from thence all error with his might, and make his eyeballs roll with wonted sight. When they next wake, all this derision shall seem a dream and fruitless vision. And back to Athens shall the lovers wend, with league whose date till death shall never end. Whilst I in this fair do thee employ, I'll to my queen and beg her Indian boy. And then I will her charmed eyes release from monster's view, and all things
shall be peace.
My fairy lord, this must be done with haste, for night's wings dragons cut the clouds full fast, and yonder shrine's Aurora's harbinger. As wiz approach ghosts and wandering here and there, troops come home to churchyards, damned spirits all, that in crossways and floods have burial. Already to thy wormy beds are gone, for fear lest day should look thy shrines upon. And willfully themselves exile from light, and must and I escort in black-browned night.
But we are spirits of another sort. I with the morning's love have oft made sport, and like a forester the groves may tread, even till the eastern gate all fiery red, opening on Neptune with fair blessed beams, turns into yellow gold his salt-green streams. But notwithstanding, haste! Make no delay. We may effect this business yet ere day.
Up in town, I will lead them up and down. I am feared and feared in town. Goblin, lead them up and down! Ooh, here comes one!
Where art thou, proud Demetrius? Oh, speak thou now!
Here, villain, draw him ready. Where art thou?
I will be with thee straight.
Follow me, then, to plainer ground. Lysander, speak again. Thou runnest away, thou coward. Hast thou fled? Speak, in some bush. Where dost thou hide thy head? Thy coward, art thou bragging in the stars, telling the bushes that thou look'st for wars and wilt not come? Come, recreant, come, thy child. I will whip you with the rod. He is defiled and draws a sword on thee.
Yea, where art thou?
Follow my voice. We'll try no manhood here.
Oh, he goes before me and still tears me on. Oh, when I come where he calls, but he is gone. Oh, the villain is much lighter heeled than I. I followed fast, but faster he did fly. That fallen am I in dark and even way. Oh, and here will rest me. Oh, come, thou gentle day, for if but once thou show me thy gray light, I'll find Demetrius and revenge this bite.
Oh, coward, where comes thou?
Abide me if thou darest, for well I not, thou runn'st before me, shifting every place, and darest not stand, nor look me in the face. Where art thou now?
Come hither, I am here.
Nay, then thou mock'st me. Thou shalt bide this tear, if e'er I see thy face in daylight see. Now go thy way. Faintness constraineth me to measure out my length on this cold bed.
My day's approach looked to be visited.
Oh, weary night. Oh, long and tedious night. Abate thy hours. Shine comforts from the east, that I may back to Athens by daylight from these that my poor company detest. And sleep that sometimes shuts up sorrow's eye. Steal me a while from mine own company.
Yes, but three, come one more. Two of both kinds make up four. Ooh, here she comes, cursed and sad. Cupid is a knavish lad. Does he make poor females mad?
Oh, never so weary. Oh, never so in woe, bedabbled with the dew and torn with briars. Oh, I can no further crawl, no further go. My legs can keep no pace with my desires.
Here will I rest me till the break of day. Oh, heaven shield Lysander if they mean a fray.
On the ground, sleep sound. I'll apply to your eye, gentle lover, remedy. When thou wak'st, thou tak'st true delight in the sight of thy former lady's eye. And the country proverb known, that every man shall take his own, and their waking shall be shown. Jack shall love Jill, not will be ill. The men shall have their mare again, and all shall be well.
Thank you for this tuning into this episode of A Midsummer Night's Dream. This episode is brought to you by Cincinnati's premier a cappella vocal ensemble. The Southern Gateway Chorus has been entertaining audiences around the world since 1956. The men of Southern Gateway support music programs in our schools, sponsor singing activities for the youth, and raise money for local charities. They wish you good health during this extended intermission and look forward to performing for you again soon. Please like the Southern Gateway Chorus Facebook page or visit southerngateway.org and sign up to receive notifications about their upcoming performances. The Southern Gateway Chorus, where harmony comes to life. And Tano Bistri, simply crafted seasonal cuisine uplifted by warm hospitality. Tano Bistro in beautiful downtown Loveland, Ohio, also one of Cincinnati's top caterers. Tano Bistro, 204 West Loveland Avenue, 513-683-8266. foodbytano.com. Thank you for tuning into LSC Radio. LSC Radio is a subsidiary of Loveland Stage Company.